I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 150 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I'm Andy White.
And I'm Kelvin Newman.
And it's another question, sorry, I jumped into you.
1.5 centuries of podcast episodes.
Really?
Yeah, 150, yeah.
Oh yeah, yes. 1.5 centuries, well, in years.
Yeah, not in years.
It feels like years, working with you, Kelvin. Moving on. So, I have in my hand three sheets of paper, with three questions on, one question per sheet. And let's get straight into it. So the first one is from Chris Hill. Hi, Kelvin. A question for you. If you type voluntourism...
I think it's volunteer.
Spelled V-O-L-U-N-T-O-U-R-I-S-M into Google. www.voluntourism.org, brackets, including sub-pages, brackets, occupies the first four positions. How have they done this? Have a super week.
Yeah, well, so basically what they've done there is it's a branded term, which always helps, because what Google are looking for there is it's a term that it's very difficult for someone else to be a more authoritative page about their brand than themselves.
So they're linking to themselves.
Well, essentially what is happening is when you're getting those kind of results, it's because they are the number one, the number two, the number three, number four most reputable page for that search query. Now this differs because it used to be that you just had one, then an indent, and that would be it. But now you've got site links, you've got all kind of combinations of links that can point to your website in an actual search result. And it seems to be changing on a weekly, if not daily basis, which ones are the default options. But really what we've got here is it's a website that is they own that search term. Now what if you want to rank for those search terms, you've just got to be a better page than those. So you'd be looking at the metrics. So where is that keyword on that page? Is it in the title tag? Is it in the H1? Is it in the body content? Is it in the internal links pointing towards that page? What are the external links to that page like? What are the internal links to that page like? And it's just a case of that for that particular search term, in Google's eyes, there are no better pages for that than that website. Now, generally speaking, Google are striving for domain diversity in a SERP result. They would prefer there to be 10 separate websites than one website, unless they're confident that that is the website that people are looking for. So lessons you can learn from that: try and dominate your own branded terms. So search for your branded terms, your brand name and brand name plus product, and see who else is ranking there. See what pages of your... So say you've got one page in position one, try and work out what the second best page from your site is on there, either by searching through or doing a site colon your domain name plus the keyword. So you could do site... voluntourism.org/voluntourism, and then see what the second result is, and then try building some links to that page as well to try and improve that.
Presumably, the fact that it's a word that not many people use in their everyday language is going to help.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's effectively a branded term, so there's going to be less competition for that. But I think you can learn from what that, you know, a page that ranks like that, and just try and understand, on your branded terms, what more can you be doing to dominate that search term? Because there's an opportunity there for someone else to jump in and cannibalize some of your sales possibly someone who's a reseller of yours, so you're ultimately getting money but you're just getting less of it, or an affiliate, or some negative branding. You know, we've worked with people who have had negative feedback appearing on their brand name.
I'm still trying to get my head around how you can be first, second, third, and fourth on a particular term.
I couldn't replicate it. It's right. Different pages. So it's like homepage, internal about us page, and I couldn't replicate it. But that question was sent a few weeks ago.
Right.
But it does happen, and it happens when your four pages are the four best pages about that search term.
Okay, moving on. We have another long letter here. Another novel. From Matthew Ockwell, and he writes, "Dear Kelvin," or "Hey Kelvin," first off, I want to thank you and Andy for producing this wonderful podcast. You've been sending a lot of these fivers out, haven't you, for people to... Anyway, thank you very much for that. You're always playing while I'm driving, cooking, working, etc. My girlfriend is beginning to hate you guys. Most women hate me anyway.
I'm used to that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been listening to your cheery voices ever since Andy had that Star Wars phaser microphone he liked to complain about. However, I can't remember that. However, now that he's upgraded from coffee shops with screaming babies, maybe he can work on toning down his campness.
So it turns out you're the camp one, Andy, then, not me on that. I don't know. Yeah.
Right, reading on. I'm beginning to work at a travel agency. No, I do, probably. Now I've broken my voice. I'm beginning to work on a travel agency website called Then and Now, and I come across a few questions that I was hoping you could answer. First question, how much weight does a website with dashes between the words have against one without it? Actually, I want to ask that question as well. For instance, then-and-now.com against then-and-now, sort of altogether.com. I've noticed these domains are becoming more popular with the dashes, and I was wondering if they were worth their weight in tea. If both sites were complete duplicates of each other, do you know if Google would prefer one over the other? I can guess why people are using dashes, because the domain name's been taken. Second question, we plan to create a lot of detailed content with each tour page. For instance, a complete breakdown of what's going on each day of travel, and maybe a little bit of history of the surrounding area. However, I don't know how I feel about a War and Peace novel sitting on the purchase page. I want that page as clean as possible and as simple as possible, but I know that content is good spider food. Would this be a good place to use a wiki? Is it spider friendly if I keep a brief description on the purchase page but link all historical stuff through the wiki, or should I just put everything on the purchase page? I can see how the wiki could help a lot with internal links, but don't know if it's worth it. What are your thoughts? Thank you again for your infinite amount of knowledge, and please don't stop the podcast, not even for vacations. Cheers! Matthew Ockwell, Orlando, which presumably means Florida.
Yes.
US of A.
Oh, fantastic. Well, yeah, on the first question on are hyphens in domain names a good thing? Well, I don't think... Certain people think that if there's over a certain number of hyphens in a domain name that you're going to struggle to rank, and they reckon about one or two is probably the logic. My rule on domain names is what I call kind of the radio test, and other people have called, you know, the radio test, which is if you tell someone your domain name, do you have to kind of caveat that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so It's hyphen this, hyphen that, you know, and...
Yeah, it's like me and Dr. Potter say, Dr. Potter, doctor, spelled out fully.
Yeah. So I, if you can go, if you have the choice and you own both, I'd go without the hyphen one, because two reasons. One, it's going to be harder to say if you need to tell someone it. And certainly in the past, there have been more spammy sites with hyphens in it, whether or not, you know, that is still the case. It certainly was in the past, where it's kind of super hyphen, Viagra hyphen deals hyphen .com/biz kind of, you know, type situations. And I would always go with the kind of non-hyphenated version if at all possible, but in domain names. URLs, it's a bit different. Hyphenated is probably better because it's a little bit easier to read. But the convention is to go without in the domain names. So I don't think there's like... I don't think that would be exclusively down to SEO. You'd make that decision. But I think looking at the picture as a whole, I think you're always going to be better going with a non-hyphenated version, just because it's harder to get your head around people remembering which way it is. So that's the first answer to that question. Second question about putting additional content on the purchase pages. There's definitely a risk of muddying the water about what the purpose of a purchase page is. And you want a page where someone is purchasing there to be one clear action, which is to purchase. But having said that, it's good to have in-depth content on your site, because there's a greater variation of keywords. There's more likelihood that you'll be able to answer all the questions that your clients have. So they're less likely to not have a question answered and then decide not to buy. Now, how do you go about doing that? Wiki, one possible solution. I don't think that necessarily needs to be a wiki unless you're particularly keen to get your clients or your customers to contribute to it, because that's what makes a wiki unique. It's the kind of contribution angle to it rather than the structure. You could have a resource center, a blog, all ways of having that additional content. Or you could put it on the product page, but you use kind of CSS to kind of only make certain bits visible at certain points in time. So you might have here is the itinerary, and you have a two sentence description of the itinerary, then a read more, which then opens up a bit of CSS, so all the content's there. So for the search engine,
but that was still there on the search engines were still seared, of course, weren't they? Yes.
And that's a technique that lots of websites are using. And as long as you're not doing it to deliberately hide a lot of content, because I have seen situations like that where it's a kind of one sentence, click here for more, and then it opens up a 5,000 word, piece of text that's crammed full of keywords. I wouldn't do it for that thing. But if it's a kind of, I've got an itinerary, that's a page of A4, I don't want that on the page, you just have a click here to read the full itinerary and it pops down. I think that's kind of quite reasonable as a solution there. So yeah, I'd go for the non-hyphenated domain, and I would consider getting, if you can write the content, get it on your website. Where should you put it? If you put it on the product page, make sure it's easy to purchase and it doesn't overwhelm that page. And one way of doing that is with CSS styling. Or put it somewhere else on the site and consider a resource center or a blog as a means of doing that.
Okay. So avoid the hyphens. I've often wondered about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's a single hyphen, I probably would have a slightly different perspective.
Mm.
But as soon as you get to two, it starts to get a little bit tricky to kind of read out.
Okay, moving on to the third and final question. This is from Mark. I have a keyword-rich domain, bikes.org.uk. Hey, that's a cool domain.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Well done for getting that one. Which is a bike review blog. How do you think Google will handle these types of domains going forward? Is this likely to be less well than they have in the past? What advice would you give to ensure that I do not lose traffic? Many thanks. Mark.
Yeah, so these are what are known in the trade as EMDs, or exact match domains. So that's where you purchase a domain name that precisely matches what it is that the search term is. Now, it used to be in the past you'd be able to get these for .coms. It might be like hotels.com, a client who you have a site visibility. But there's not many of them around now. You do get them for like longer ones where it might be three word phrases, and I've bought a few in the past for kind of personal projects that are kind of two or three word phrases with .co.uk's on the end. Or you can go down the route where you go kind of like an org.uk. Now, the reason people buy these is, one is they're a bit more brandable. So, suddenly bikes.org.uk sounds more impressive than kelvinsbikeblog.com, which is kind of an option there. And also, generally speaking, Google have tended to reward these sites, and they seem to get higher search results as a consequence of them. Now, that's for two reasons. One is because people tend to link to them a lot of your links will be containing your brand name, and if your brand name is also your URL, that helps quite well, and if it's exactly the same phrases as well. But it's also because Google think they're a brand, right? So how do Google tell if hotels.com is a brand or not? Because when people are searching for hotels.com, it's their brand, but it's also their keyword. And you get these types of situations where if your brand name and your main keyword can be the same thing, it's difficult for Google to tell whether it's a branded search, which you ought to be number one for, or a generic search where potentially other people should be involved. So that's why exact match domains go very well. And, I've owned a few in the past, and I know that they tend to work quite well in search results. But generally speaking, SEOs are like, and like the chap here said, that concern that how long is that going to last? Well, my question is, they're going to have to crack down at some point, but the problem they haven't is because of the collateral damage, because you've got to think that what's the difference between an exact match domain and a brand? So say there's a UK retailer called Argos, right? Yeah. Mm. So if I search for Argos, Argos should be number one. But how do Google know that Argos is a branded term and hotels isn't? Or to go for one that doesn't have a brand name associated with it, microphones. So, right, you've got two search terms. You've got microphones.com, for the search term microphone. And you've got Argos.com for the search term Argos. How did Google know that Argos is a brand name, but microphones.com isn't?
We need semantic domains.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and this is kind of, it's a, they don't understand it, so they have to kind of go about it in a different way. So that's why they've not changed it. So what would I say was, well, hopefully at some point, I imagine Google have got teams of people trying to determine what's a brand and what's not a brand. So what have you got to do if you own an exact match domain name? You've got to try and send the signals to Google that you're a brand, right? So are people searching for bikes.org.uk in search results? Are a lot of your links using the full URL? Do people mention your brand name but not link to you? Because that's when they're referring to your website, they talk about the URL, even if they haven't actually made it a link. You know, and all these types of issues as well. So do you have, when someone searches for, if he ranks for bikes, do, when that result comes up and he's in first place, say, do you get the lion's share of the clicks like a brand would? Because basically, like, so say I go back to the Argos one, I search for Argos, they're number one, and then there's Argos, you know, news, an article about their latest profit release on The Guardian in second position. I'm still going to click on the first result, and that's going to be higher than it would be on a normal, if I search for microphones, if you see what I mean. So are you sending those signals? And I wouldn't like advise people to not buy exact match domains, because there's value there, but I think you've got to understand that there could be an update that could impact that. So therefore, you need to be building a sustainable business that exists on more than just the fact that you happen to rank for one key phrase.
Interesting stuff. And I think we'll have to wrap it there, Kelvin. Yeah. So it's goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we will be back next week. Have we got one last question?
One last Q&A episode coming up next, yes. Of our four-episode run of questions and answers. Yes. So that means we're completely out of Q&A questions. We're raring to go for more. So if you've got any more, send them in. So you can email me. That's Kelvin, kelvin.newman, which is newman at sitevisibility.com. Of course, all that's in the show notes. Or you could ask us a question in the LinkedIn group as well.
Don't call him Kevin because he doesn't like it.
Yeah, so, and if you write Kevin at kevin.newman, it might not ever reach me. So.
That's right, yes. So we'll see you next week on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Goodbye. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.